Spirit of breakthrough, my Father, in the name of Jesus. We just want to thank you once again for today. Because this is the day that you have made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for what you are doing in our lives, in our church, in our city, in our time. Thank you, our Father and our God, for what you have done already. Thank you for the things that you are about to do. Thank you for our new church campus. Once again, we declare it is settled. It is dedicated and fully utilized. Father, thank you so much, oh Lord, my God. We have one assignment here. I'm so fully persuaded about it, is to raise breakthrough believers. Breakthrough believers. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, that as I speak, feel my tongue, speak through me, and connect the hearts of your people to that which you are saying from the throne of grace. Let there be utterance. Let there be transformation. Let there be revolution. Father, thank you. We give you glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Developing a breakthrough mentality. This is not just about a message. This is a lifestyle. This is a lifestyle that God has called us to, and that the Lord desires that we start to walk in. This is not preaching a sermon. This is learning to live the way God has ordained for you to live. Are you living at the level that he has called you to? Or you are living below? That is the purpose of this message this morning. What is a breakthrough mentality? Mark chapter number 2 from verse number 1. Mark 2 from verse number 1. It reads, and I quote, when Jesus returned, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Capernaum was his home. Hello? Amen. I spoke to you about that. And then verse number 2. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. And while he was preaching God's word to them, 4 men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Remember, I was talking about that Jesus actually was the first person. You can see here, where was he teaching? Where? In the house. Verse number 2. They couldn't bring him to where? So soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more word room. Even outside the door while he was preaching God's word. To preach is to proclaim. The easy to read translation says he was teaching God's word, meaning that he was both explaining and then he was declaring the word to them. Then these 4 men arrived. Verse number 3. 4 men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. The Bible didn't tell us whether it was a quadriplegia or a paraplegia? What's the difference? Quadri means what? All the four limbs are paralyzed. Para means what? Two of them are paralyzed. But obviously this man was what? Paralyzed, because he could not walk by himself. And he got four men to carry him. The Bible didn't tell us whether they were just his friends or he what? What? Somebody said that. Or family members. The Bible also didn't tell us whether they were the ones that encouraged him and said, look, we've heard about a man who could heal. You've been in this situation for so long. Maybe if we go there, we can receive a turnaround or a healing. The Bible also didn't tell us whether he was the one that heard about it. Whether he heard about it or he was told about it, but definitely he made a move to be there and remain, getting there. Look at verse 4. Getting there, they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. Meaning, after traveling, because at that time there were no cars. There were no buses and definitely no ambulance. So they must have carried this man on their what? On their shoulders. We didn't know for how long they walked, but I can tell you it was not just the next house. Imagine after carrying, after walking, after carrying, and probably they must have stopped a few times on the road. Finally arriving at the house, and they say, the entire place is totally filled up. No space. Let's stop there. They came to receive healing. They came to meet with Jesus. Getting to the place, they become so close, yet so far. What will it take to stop you? What will it take to stop you? I read that place again and again and again. They could not continue because of the, meaning the crowd, stop them at that point. If you were in their shoes, the paralyzed man and his friends who are carrying him, what do you think you would have done at this time? What would majority of people, what would they have done at this time? Thank you. I'm going to get four men. When I say four men, not necessarily men, to join me in this. Can I have the microphone? What would, do you think most people would have done? Please. Or maybe what you will have done. Get in there. Most people will have loved. They will just turn back and they will just have left. By leaving, will you receive your break? Will they, by turning back and leaving, what will you, if you were there, if you were the one, and now let's be sincere, what would you have done? Probably wait a few minutes and then what? And then leave. Thank you. But do you know? A lot of people will have started to complain. Well, why would somebody, after walking, making all that effort, getting to that place, why would you just suddenly turn back and then walk away? Why would you start to complain? You know, the number one thing that stops people from breakthrough, experience. Because the moment you get there, the moment you hit that problem, the moment you hit that difficulty, the moment you hit that challenge, thoughts will start to come. It's come again. And then you'll be reminded of 1, 2, 3, 4 experiences that what when things did not work out. Have we not said many times that experience is the best teacher? You know, there's nobody here who has not had maybe not too good experience. Some things you try to do that didn't work out. Maybe it could be in the area of your profession. Maybe in the area of relationship. Maybe in the area of you thought you've gotten that job. You thought you've met that man. You thought you've met that, oh yes, and then suddenly, by the time you probed further, you say, ah. Don't let experience decide your future. Experience is not the best teacher. The Holy Ghost is. I can tell you again and again that if you're going to develop a breakthrough mentality, you must not allow your past experience, especially when things have not worked out, to stop you. You must not tie your future to past blunders. You must not. And I can show you from scriptures of a woman. Because I was looking at these, and the Holy Spirit was just reminding me. I said, can I show you this particular woman in the Bible that experience could have stopped her? Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 from verse number 25. Mark 5 from verse number 25. What does it say? Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 1 year, 12 years, meaning that this affliction had continued for so long and had suffered many things from many physicians. Meaning that they must have told her, look, there's a particular doctor who just came into town that can what? Help you. And she must have gone there. And you know that you can't just walk there and say, I've come. You must first of all pay what is called what? You've also visited before. You must pay consultation fee. And then you must also, after you've seen, they say, okay, you do this, do that. And then you, after that, and they say, but nothing has changed. And the Bible says she suffered many things from many physicians, meaning not one, not two, not three, many physicians. And she has spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Then she heard about Jesus. Somebody said, have you heard about Jesus? Have you heard about Dr. Jesus? Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. That is why we want to occupy all the mountains. That in the medical field, we have our doctors there. That is carrying and flying the banner. In the judiciary, we have our people there. In the education, we have our people there. Representing Jesus in those areas, in those places. You know, she heard about Jesus. And she could have just said, no. But did I not go and see Dr. So-and-so last week? Did he walk? Did I go and see so-and-so last month? Did anything come out of it? And she could have what? She could have... and then what? I said, no, I'm not going. Please don't bother me. Don't bother me. I don't think I'll do. But she heard about Jesus and she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garments. Somebody said, I'm waiting for Jesus to touch me. But she touched Jesus. I said, she touched Jesus. This touch is different. I said, this touch is different. Breakthrough believers touch Jesus. They just don't wait for the touch to come. They just rise up and go and touch the hem of his garment. Did you realize that she didn't ask for permission? She didn't say, please, can I touch the hem of your garment? Hello, can I touch the hem of your garment? She didn't ask for permission. You know why you didn't have for permission? Why? Because of what she has had. And not only that, she believed that this time, this season, now is the time. This has happened for so long, but now is the time. I'm not going back without my healing. I'm not going back without our campus. I'm not going back without the situation. I'm not going back without the resolution. Now is the time. Somebody, whose report have you received? And which report will you believe? I say, which report? Somebody say, if you do know the report I just received, then you need a new report. And you need a new report. It's a report from the Lord. I say, it's a report from the Lord. But the Bible says, for she said, everybody say, for she said. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made what? Well. So she started recreating her future with her words. She started recreating her what? Her destiny through her destination. She started recreating her experience through her utterance. Your experience will follow your utterance. I said, your experience will follow your what? Your utterance. I have studied that place again and again and again. Go back to verse 58. It says, for she, you know, the true interpretation of that word there is, for she kept saying. For she continued to say. It is not what you say occasionally that hurts. It is what you say consistently and persistently and continuously. For she kept saying. For she kept saying. And do you know that the crowd still also gathered there? Just like in the first one that we read. For she said, if I may only touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Verse 29. The Bible now says what? The fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was what? She was what? She was what? She was what? Of the affliction. Verse number 30. This is where I'm going. You see where I'm going. Verse number 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself the power of virtue had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Then verse number 31. Verse 31, I said, but his disciples said to him, you see the multitude, the crowd. You are, and you say, who touched you? Everybody is touching you, but this touch is particular. Everybody, some people are just what? Some people are touching. Maybe they were admiring his what? His garments. Maybe they were looking at his sandals. They say, this man can speak Hebrew. Maybe they were doing that. But one woman came with a purpose. And what is that? That is why I want to enjoy you. Please, don't come to service to attend your service. Come, say, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. Come seeking for an answer from him. Come seeking for a turnaround from him. Come seeking for a resolution of a resolution of a situation from him. Don't just come so that you are counted as part of the number who turned up. No, we don't attend service that way. We come because we want to experience him. Where is Emmanuel? The first time Emmanuel came to church, I was saying some things. And then he turned to his auntie and said, I don't understand what exactly, and was asking her the question. As I was asking her the question, I was answering from the pulpit. The question that he was asking there, and she tapped him and said, and she said, look, this pastor is just answering the question. Do you remember? Pastor is just answering the question. I'm talking, this is true life. It's sitting there. Pastor is just answering the question that you are just asking. Pastor is just answering the question. You can just, let me tell you something. When you come with a heart You are asking him. The one, Jehovah, who sees, Jehovah, who knows, will start to answer your questions through the mouth of the one speaking. Because it's not limited to what you don't know. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? His disciples said, but what are you saying? Who touched me? Then continue. Verse number 32. Quickly. And he looked around to see who had done this. 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, it's good that you came. My power just healed you. Is that what is there? Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. And he said to her, daughter, whose faith? Your faith. Daughter, your faith has healed, has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Your faith. Her faith healed her. Your faith can heal you. Are you listening to me? Your faith can heal you. So your faith. Your faith. My faith. My faith. Her experience could have stopped her. Her situation could have stopped her. But she refused to be stopped. Because this woman will be part of the breakthrough word believers. And her story will be in this particular and canonical scripture that we are writing. You know what also normally stops people? When you get to an obstacle like this, you know what all stops people? Yes, doubt. But where do doubts come from? Your thoughts. The moment you hit the place, then this thought will start to come. Thought will start to come. Somebody will start to remind you and be giving you excuses for you to pack your loads and then just walk away. That is why you look at it and walk away. Many times you think those thoughts are just coming from yourself. They're not coming. Thoughts are not physical. Thoughts are not material. Thoughts are not natural. Thoughts are spiritual. You know what thoughts are? You know what thoughts are? The meaning of thoughts? Thoughts means to form or to shape. To form or to shape. So thoughts will come to you to form you or to shape you in a particular direction. Is the exact word in Genesis 2:7. Let's go there. And the Lord God formed man. Out of where? Out of the dust. So where was man before man was formed? In the spirit. Because in Genesis 1:27, let us make man after our image. In our image, after our likeness. Let us make what? In our image. God is spirit. So man was in the spirit. But now, when the formation took place, that which was in existence spiritually now was formed into a physical existence. So thoughts come to form you. Thoughts come to shape you. So when those thoughts are coming and say, don't bother yourself. Where are those thoughts coming from? When the thoughts are coming and say, it's too hard. Where are those thoughts coming from? When those thoughts are coming and say, you tried last year, you didn't make it. Then, you better just, where are those thoughts coming from? Where are those thoughts coming from? You know, thoughts come to what? To form or to shape. So when thoughts are coming, they're coming like that. Where are they coming from? Because the source of thoughts will determine the experience that you will have. Hello, somebody. Where are those thoughts coming from? Where are they coming from? What are they trying to do? To shape you? To form you in a particular direction? Do you know that their thoughts and how are thoughts conveyed to us? Through sometimes Satan speaks directly, but a lot of time they are conveyed through words. Through words. Have you read? Maybe somebody has come and spoken some things, and then suddenly you feel so down and so depressed. Hello? Somebody walk in and say, well, you know, you've been trying to get this. Why do you bother yourself? Why, you know, this thing has not really worked. Why? Why? And then you feel down. And then you now start to meditate on them. And the more you meditate on them, the more you lose your peace. The more you feel so depressed. Those thoughts are forming you. And then the more depressed you are, you start to lose strength. You become discouraged. Because thoughts that discourage, they are taking away your courage. You just feel down. You start to lose the ability to fight. Fight the situation, to fight it. You start to lose it. And before you know what is happening, as you meditate on those thoughts, you are repeating them in words. You are repeating them in words. The moment you start to repeat them, you're already trapped. And it's difficult to take the step forward. Suddenly, the mountain starts to look bigger because of the thoughts you have received. Are also thoughts that you receive that brings joy? Are there thoughts that you receive that brings joy, that lifts you, that you are encouraged? Suddenly you feel that, you know, that there's no mountain that you cannot take. Where do those thoughts come from? They come from God. So be careful the thoughts that you receive. Be careful. Many people think those thoughts that come to them, they are the one thinking them. Hello, somebody. Many people think when the thoughts come, cha, cha, cha. And I can tell you, when the enemy is sending thoughts, they'll be coming so fast. Pa, 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 pa. And then you do like this. You are what? They is getting your attention. Do you know that nobody really liked you? Have you noticed that when you walk into church, that Angela didn't greet you? You say, yeah? Meanwhile, she is rushing to the kitchen to try and set the place up. You didn't know that. He said she just rushed by because she doesn't like you. You say, hmm? You say, watch it again next Sunday. You say, And then, again, maybe somebody else just rushes past to go and get some things. And this time around, the Lord will have moved and say, Angela will see you and say, hello, how are you? You're welcome. And say, but she greeted me. He said, but how about so and so and so? Did that one didn't greet you now? I say, oh, that is so true. That is so true. That is so true. And the more you listen, the more you feel down. You lose courage. You lack the strength. You're unable to break forth and break through. And you start to repeat those thoughts. And how do you repeat them? In form of complaints. You start to repeat them. And you don't know that somebody is feeding them. Feeding them. Feeding them. Feeding them. Feeding them. We cannot be breakthrough believers if we are not careful the thoughts we received. If we are not, will not be breakthrough believers if we will not be careful what we say. Let me tell you, you are going to meet the mountains. Let me tell you, you are going to face the situations. Hello, as long as you are in this fallen world, but we have been warned. What do we want? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 18. What does it say? 2 Corinthians 4, 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 18. For while we do not look at the things which are world, why should we not focus on the mountains? Focus on the problems. Focus on the challenges. Focus on the crowd. Why? Because the things are not what? Are not seen. For the things which are seen are, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He said, we do not look at the things which are seen. When they got there and they saw the crowd, place filled with crowd, and there's no way out. If they were focused on that, they would have turned back. Don't look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not what? Seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What are the things that we do not see? Somebody? The Word of God. We don't see the Word. So how do you break through when you meet that obstacle? When you meet that situation, what do you need to start to do? Hello, somebody? What do you need to start to do? Declared. And where do those words that you need to declare, where do they come from? So now, when you get there, what do you do? Let's go back to Mark chapter 5, and you'll see some things there. Mark chapter number 5. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his 28. For she stayed. We can put it this way. She started to declare. She started to declare. If you not declare God's word, it's better to do what? Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse number 4. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, the word. Stop there. What did they do? They complained. What did they say? What did they say? Instead of starting, because let me tell you, you can write this down in bold letter, in capital letter. Your experience will follow your utterance. You can write it down in bold letters. Your experience will follow your utterance. So be careful what you are uttering about that situation. Be careful what you are uttering about that. Don't let the enemy convince you to start to utter what he's saying about it. Find out what God is saying about it. Declare what God is saying. In fact, there's no way actions follow words. Or actions follow thoughts. That's why I say, watch your thoughts, they become your, and watch your words, they become your actions. So before they could start to uncover the roof, I'm very, very sure they didn't allow negative thoughts. They didn't allow, can I give you an assignment? This week, just listen to yourself. Listen to yourself, talk about your job. Listen to yourself, talk about your what? Your spouse. Listen to yourself, talk. We went to see an elder in the city, in the land. Somebody, one of those who came to this land for the, We've had a very good relationship. I always remember the first time he came to this church. He stood there and we took the power of his love, the way he took it. Oh, my, I've never forgotten in my entire life. He was not just standing and looking. 60-year-old, about the power of your love. Hold me close. Let your, oh my God. The way he was worshiping that day, I've never forgotten. We got there and I saw him walked out. I was like, wow. Wow. I wasn't expecting to be in a bad shape, but it was looking far, far better than I was expecting. He walked out. He hugged me. I hugged him. I said, I said, so good to see you, Daddy. I've just come to see, to greet you. And he said, Pastor, and we started talking. His wife came. He said, I'm telling you, the love that God has put in his heart for you, Pastor, I don't know where it came from. He just loves you. Anytime he has anything to say, the first person that must come and speak there must be you. I don't know why he does that. He just loves you. And I said, what did you, have you, she's looking so well. Do you know what he said to me? People have been calling. What medication? What concussion? What have you? And we said, no. One thing that we have done is that I was thanking her for the way you've taken care of him. I said, you've done a tremendous job. And he said, the love the children has for him, the love we have for him, and he knows it, and he did like this. He said, the love of God. I said, wow, the love of God. That word, love, must have been expressed many times to him. What is it that love cannot change? What is it that words of encouragement, words of faith cannot change? He said, the love that we have shown him. If spouses will show themselves that love, remember, and they had a very big house, after suffering stroke, the thinking of many will just be, maybe this man will soon pass away. And then, at least there's something that, but that was not. They showed him so much love. They showed him, if Christians, let me say this, do you know that the rate of divorce in the church is the same as in the world? Do you know that? If Christians will start to walk in the love of God towards one another, divorce courts will close down. There was somebody who were ministering to and were trying to, few years back, and they were coming to church, and they said, the first thing is receive Christ. The man received Christ, but the woman did not receive Christ. All she wanted was just for me to convince the husband to start to, but I can't. Something must happen within you too. But she never did. She was just hiding. Eventually, they could not. And they said they were going to divorce. He got there to the divorce court. He said, huh? He called me. He said, wow. He said, there are so many people here. I said, there are so many people there. But by the grace of God, that is not where God wants us to be. Let's love. Let's show encouragement. Let's speak encouragement. Let's speak the love of God. The love of God. And let me say this. Sometimes you see some improvement. It might be little in people. Commend it. Commend it. Don't wait until it is big. But start to appreciate that little one. Let us show love by speaking love. Stop emphasizing the mistakes of the other person. Before you point one finger at somebody, how many are pointing at you? Four. But he did this, but he did that. Are you perfect yourself? Hello, can I disappoint you? Maybe you've been thinking the pastor is perfect. I'm not. Hello, I'm what? I'm not perfect. You know only one person is perfect? And who is that? Jesus. None of us. So we must be what? Appreciate. Whatever thing, because whatever you appreciate, we'll appreciate. Whatever we'll appreciate, we'll appreciate. They got to that place. They saw the crowd. That didn't stop them. Experience didn't stop them. They didn't start to complain. But I'm sure they must have spoken to themselves. We can still do something about it. That is why I read that letter to you. That letter did not say we mean, but they say we're looking towards giving what? Approval. And we're celebrating and being thankful for that. Because when you are thankful for little, he adds more. He adds more. He adds more. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I said, praise the name of the Lord. I said, I can see that everybody is quiet. This is a truth, especially that is going between spouses, between families, between friends. This is very, very important. Hello, somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop complaining. I said, stop complaining. Stop complaining. Finally, I ended up that message by saying, last week I said, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Today I'm going to end the message by giving you three things to meditate and speak on. Number one, stop meditating and speaking about the things you don't have. Because the more you declare you don't have them, the more you will never have them. Don't forget your experience, follow your utterance. Stop meditating and what? Declaring the things you don't have. That's where I will continue next Sunday. Stop what? Meditating and then what? Declaring the things you don't have. Number two, stop meditating on and declaring the things you don't know. Hello? Everybody say number three. Stop meditating on and declaring the things you cannot do. The things you don't know, the things you don't have, and the things you cannot do. Then the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can't be a breakthrough believer talking always about the things you cannot do, the things you don't have. You cannot be a breakthrough believer. The Bible says, they tore the roof. And what happened? They climbed and lowered it before him. And Jesus saw the, and he got angry. I said, did the ushers allow you to bring this? Is that what they did? Is that what they did? No. That's not what they did. That's not what they did at all. What did he do? I'll continue next Sunday. But stop what? Meditating on and declaring the things you don't want, you don't have. Stop meditating on and declaring the things you don't want. And stop meditating on and declaring the things that you cannot what? You cannot do. Isn't the reason why you send the helper? Eh? Why do we focus on that? Neglecting the helper. Why do we focus on that? Neglecting the one that I sent to help and then to be your advocate. The one to support you. The one to comfort and counsel you. The one that he has made available. So that you know that you are not alone. Amen? Praise God. Is God raising breakthrough believers in this house? Is God raising breakthrough believers in this house? When you get to the crowd, will you turn back again? Let's rise upon our feet. No more turning back. No more giving up. No more complaining. No more complaining. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love. He learned forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to show my Savior. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Because he lives.
All fear is gone.
Because I know.
He holds my future. My life is worth a living just because he lives.
Because he lives.
I can face tomorrow. Because he lives.
All fear is gone.
Because he holds my future. My life is worth a living just because he lives. Our lives are worth a living
just because he lives.
I have not finished with you. It's not over for you. I have my plans for you. Just continue to trust me. And when you get to that place where the mountains are, when you get to that place of difficulties, and especially when they're looking insurmountable, learn to look up to me. Because I'm your strength. I'm your very present help in times of trouble. You are not alone. Stop listening to that voice that says you are alone. You are not alone. Because I promised in my word, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So that you can confidently be saying that the Lord is your helper and there's nothing that circumstance, situations can do to you. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I was just praying in the Spirit during the week, and he said this to me, he just reminded me. He said, I will not allow you to fail. Amen. He just reminded me of that. And I'm giving the same word. He said, he will not allow us to fail. Amen. He will not allow you to fail. Amen. He will not allow us to fail. Because he said he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Father, we thank you for your word to us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. I want you to pray after me because we want to do something right now. We want to root out wrong thoughts, strongholds, wrong words, all those things. So that when you get to the place when there's so many crowds, when you get to the place where the mountains are, you will not turn back. Instead of those depressive thoughts and everything like that, you see yourself just what? Rising up. And instead of turning back, you will go forward. Now say, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I've heard your word this morning, and I want to thank you for it. Father, every wrong word, every wrong utterance, every wrong thoughts that I've listened to and have allowed that the enemy had used to depress, to discourage, to stop me from advancing and progressing, all such thoughts, all such words, I cast them out. I root them out in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know that you are my helper and I have help. Thank you, Lord, for your help. Thank you, Lord, for your strength. Thank you, Lord, for your joy. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, Father, for enabling me, helping me to break forth and break through in every area of my life. Thank you, wonderful Savior. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,